is one of the most fascinating in the entire Old Testament. We're continuing in the book of Joshua this week, and what we're about to read is a reminder of an encounter that we will all have one day. An encounter that is the one thing that matters more than anything else. And the way that it's handled here in what we're about to read can make a difference for you and me here and now. So let's take a look. We're in the fifth chapter of Joshua, starting with verse 13, continuing into the sixth chapter up to verse 7, Joshua 5:13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." By the way, that's interesting. That's the same thing Moses was told before he stood before the burning bush. And here, his successor, Joshua, and Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the army of the Lord, of the Ark of the Lord." You and I have been told through the spiritual that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. But that's not how it started. Someone else was fighting for him. And so here we are, coming right up to Jericho. Joshua is on the way, and a man with a sword in his hand stops him. The sword is unsheathed. As an old fencer, I can tell you that means something. And here what it means is, go no further. Now, Joshua is a formidable warrior. Make no doubt about it. He would be into his latest years. But the man in front of him is intimidating. And Joshua doesn't tell him to stand aside. Instead, he asks him, "Whose side are you on?" Verse 13, "Are you for us or our enemies?" And it's the man's answer that should really give us pause. "Neither." But what does that mean? He continues, "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." So, just who are we dealing with here? Is this a man? Is this an archangel? Things are about to get very real for Israel. They've just crossed the Jordan miraculously. Again, God made a way through the Jordan just as he had through the Red Sea. Some of this is starting to look familiar, right? God parts the waters, and the air around them is tense with conflict. You can feel the fear. Jericho is shut tight. No one goes in or out. Now go back to verse 14 and notice what Joshua does in response to the answer of the man. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Oh, something is going on here. Joshua is the leader of Israel, and Joshua was nobody's fool. Keep in mind, again, it was Joshua who was only one of the two who said, "We can do this, we can go in." Joshua was a deeply, when it came to heading into the promised land, right? There's only one other from his generation, Caleb, who remains. So here is this seasoned warrior, and all of a sudden, "What would my Lord?" Joshua falls face down to the ground. "What would my Lord have me do? What message does my Lord have for his servant?" You know, I got to wonder about this whole encounter, especially at that point where Joshua asks him, "Are you for us or our enemies?" I think Joshua saw something in that moment. And I don't know whether he saw it with his physical eyes or the eyes of his spirit. But I'll tell you what I think he saw. I think the eyes of the stranger flashed. And I think that they flashed in such a way that Joshua knew whom he was standing before. To support that, you might turn with me in your Bibles to the Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. You'll see why I wonder about this. John writes about what is to happen before another battle, the last battle, when the Antichrist and Satan are defeated and the kingdom of God is fully revealed. It rolls out in such a way that it will never be compromised. John writes about this, Revelation 19:11, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God." This is John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." This is John talking about Jesus. Verse 14. "The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean." Stop right there. The armies of heaven were following him, the Lord of heaven's armies, with eyes like fire. This is what some scholars call a Christophany. In other words, an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. And what happens next is Joshua is told precisely what he is to do to conquer. And that's what happens as you read on into the next chapter. March around the city for 6 days. I mean, think about this plan. This plan, Joshua no doubt had a plan already set out in his head. They are on the way in, on the way to Jericho. He is stopped. And suddenly a very different plan comes up. March around the city for 6 days. On the 7th day, blow a trumpet and shout. No battering rams at the wall or siege ramps. Nothing like that. The wall just falls down. And yet these stone walls were so large and so stable that homes were actually built on them. This is no human plan. That's the point of it. So Joshua didn't really fight the battle. I mean, the worst blow comes when the wall falls down. Joshua has them carry the Ark of God before them, which symbolizes his presence. And he gives the orders just as he's told, and the plan works beautifully. So Joshua's response, well, Jesus' response, excuse me, to Joshua's question, I think is very revealing. Again, Joshua's question, basically, whose side are you on? We all want God to be on our side, right? But isn't it true, a statement credited to Abraham Lincoln, it's not a matter whether or not God is on our side, it is a matter as to whether or not we are on his. You see, every side seems to claim him whenever it's convenient. But the real question is, where are our hearts? And this is a question that can also happen sometimes when families and friends get together for Thanksgiving. Someone may have a difference with another for whatever reason. And the question is, how do you navigate that? Sometimes people turn Thanksgiving into Festivus, the holiday for the airing of grievances. And I think the real question we have to ask ourselves as we head in to a day like this is, whose side am I on? Really? Not from the standpoint of taking sides in those differences that continue forever and ever ad nauseum, amen, but instead, am I able to love with the love of Jesus in me? Am I able to forgive? Whether or not an apology is offered, am I able to have his wisdom as I encounter situations that are potentially problematic or hurtful. Because what I am doing in the middle of this whole thing is clinging to Him. Am I on the side of the Lord of Heaven's armies? With His help, with His healing within, with His Spirit and His strength sustaining me, am I living for the kingdom of God, intent on welcoming Jesus into my everyday life so that I'm not just asking Him to bless me? The attitude of my heart is like Joshua's posture, bowed before Him. Lord, what would you have your servant? What message do you have for your servant? What would you have your servant do? Because, you know, if I submit to Him like that, then one day when I stand before Him whose eyes are like fire, then those eyes will shine with love and warmth. And the beauty of the one who says, well done, come into the presence of the one who loved you before the foundation of the world. He will know us if we walk with Him and make the effort to know Him. If we turn from our will be done to your will be done. And oh, how we need His wisdom, how we need His presence, not just for the battles of life, not just for family gatherings or whatever, but for every moment in between. Because He is our promised land. He is our rest, and what our hearts long for most of all. In Him we live and move and have our being. And if we can just get close to that, close enough for others to catch a glimpse of that in us, what have we done? Oh, a good thing. A good thing. His love, His light, His presence that comes through that place of prayer in the moment. Help me, Lord. I love you, Lord. Psalm 37:4 comes to mind. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your hearts. And in the end, it is He who is the greatest desire of our hearts. It's what He made us for. And being able to go there and live there, He really is faithful and true. He can be trusted. And He will lead you. And when the Lord of Heaven's armies goes before you, nothing, not even death, can stop you. With the beauty of His Spirit within you, your own eyes shine. And other people can see it, they can note it, whether or not they know what it is or not, they'll see it. And later they may. Because that's where we want to be. Before Him. In Him. Looking for the future that He has for us as his own. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Paul quotes that verse, but then he adds one more interesting thing, one little sentence. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. In other words, there are things that you and I can see, can grasp, again, not with our physical eyes, but the eyes of our hearts that are of the Spirit of God, that are so good that we can walk into even here and now. It's like heaven touching earth. You and I can be blessed as the presence of God meets us and carries us and accompanies us through this world and whatever we walk through, all the way home to him who made us and loves us. God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Good things are coming. Do you know it? Do you see it with his help? Go to him. He'll help you see it. Good things are coming. And I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving. Yes, I'm talking about all of that so much more in an internal way. People shall come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. He is the reason we can be truly thankful. May we pray. Lord, we want to be able to call you Lord and mean it. We want to be able to say, would you have me do? What message do you have for your servant? Thank you that your love is so tender that you help us and actually bring us to that place if we ask you. Thank you that true happiness is found in you because you made us. And you can lead our steps into the places where we stand precisely where we were meant and made to be. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what this world throws at us, you are better. And in you, we have the greatest hope of all, and it is not just words. It is the presence of your Spirit and the very presence of Jesus in us, even now. And dear one, if this sounds a little strange to you, you're thinking, I'd like that, but I don't have it. Oh, he really can show you. And if you take a step of faith, even just a small one, and say, yes, I really believe I need you. I really believe your Spirit is working on my heart. And I want to follow you, but I'm wrestling with that, and I need your help with that. He really will help you. He really will. And if you come to that place where you can say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I ask you to forgive them, forgive me, I receive that that's why you came, so that I could be forgiven. So I receive that, and I receive you. Please give me your Spirit in my heart, in my life. As soon as you pray that, He will. And He will bring you out of darkness into light. And the light that shines in His eyes will be for you. And if God is for you, nothing can be against you. Lord, thank you that you are for us, that you sent your Son for us, that you love us with this perfect love. Help us, Lord, to stay with you. Thank you that you will keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. For thyself, best gift. For that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise this.
Thanksgiving. What does that mean? In everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests unto the Lord, right? Be in His presence, because He is with you. Bless us, Lord, as we go to be yours, walking in your light and in your perfect love. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all God's people say, amen. Go in peace.